you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ross Sutton from the SDR show. Big J and I, it's a Zoom episode. It's with Jim Jeffries. Jay is on the road. His new comedy special, Dog Belly, is out on YouTube. You may want to check that out. We have a really fun conversation with this dude. Super funny guy. Him and Jay go way back. Remember, we do this every Wednesday, every Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern time. Let's just get right into it right now. Use the code SDRcastDigitalNetwork.com. You could have heard this 5 days ago. All that regular rigmarole, you know, if you subscribe to Gas Digital. But really, let's just jump into it. Jim Jeffries on the SDR show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is a hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone fuck the hoe. It's weed, I'm beat, it's hookers and blow. It's art, it's art, you need to know. The SDR show. Let's go.
It is the SDR show, sex, drugs, and rock and roll show. I am Ralph Sutton. With me from his home, it is Big Day Oakerson. How are you, buddy?
Hello, buddy.
I like that house. I like the sea in the background for Christine. It makes me happy.
Yeah, it really does look like it's her place. Someone who pays really not a dime into it.
That's why I like it. So right now, I know you know this guy.
Yes, indeed.
Came up a couple times over the years that you guys are friends. So we'll just jump right into it right now.
He's a new comedy special. I'll tell you, in this intro, he was one of the catalysts for kind of things turning around a little bit for me and letting me open for him at Carnegie Hall some years ago, which was an unbelievable opportunity.
Wow, that's nice of him. And everyone says he's such a jackass. That's nice. Who knows? He has a new comedy special called High and Dry on Netflix, and he's on the Give Them What They Want tour and the I Don't Know About That podcast. I found that his real name is actually Jeff Nugent. It is Jim Jeffries. How are you, buddy?
That's correct. Yeah, my real name. Well, Jeffrey Nugent, actually.
Yeah. Why did we get rid of Nugent when it's such a rock star name?
When I first, it was Jeffrey with a G. And one of my first gigs I ever did, someone introduced me as Godfrey Nugget. And I went, I might have to sharpen that up a bit. James is my middle name. And I went by Jeffrey James for about a week. And then I changed it to Jim Jeffries. And I haven't looked back. Yeah.
You found that pretty young, though, which is good.
21. Yeah, I was 20. Maybe 20. Yeah, I was very young. Like, you know, like your full name isn't Big.
Nope.
You know, you've added that bit.
Yeah.
It's actually Biggith. He goes short to Big. Yeah,
Big Sif. Go Ralph.
I was gonna say that what it's funny is that I know your first time doing comedy, you were 17 and your dad told you this isn't for you, so you stayed out of it for 3 years. That's pretty funny.
I did one of those open micers where the rest of the crowd were comedians, you know. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to get on. And I was 17. I was just talking about a girl at school I liked and how there was some kid I had a fight with and it just wasn't very relatable. And my dad had to take me so I could go into the comedy club because it was a licensed area. And he said, nah, not for you, mate. And then, I'm doing all right now.
It is funny starting comedy. Like, yeah, I started at 19, but even like that young, even if you're good at it on a prodigy level, which I was not, but I'm saying if somebody is like that kind of good at it, you still can only talk about the experiences you have, which are none. That's what's interesting to see happen. Like, nobody can be a phenomenal 18-year-old comedian. You have nothing. It's going to be the same jokes from every other 18-year-old comedian. My mom's plays.
I've always thought, like, when you watch the Oscars and they always harp on about how great actors are and their craft and all that type of stuff. Three times an 11-year-old has won an Oscar, right? Yeah. That means that job's complete bullshit. If an 11-year-old's not just as good as you, but the best that year, you know what I mean? So I don't think, like, especially with me and you, Jay, being dirty comics and wanting to talk about edgy things, there's nothing less edgy than a 19 or a 17-year-old.
Couldn't it be also that the 11-year-old legitimately believes the scenario they're in and they're not really acting?
Well, Ralph, now you're getting into mind games, Ralph. No, I think more like no, I think what it is, I think you can have prodigy like skill at something at that age. So in acting, you can have like the chops to be an amazing actor reading somebody else's words of experience or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But if you asked that same 11-year-old to write their own movie, it would be a hunk of shit because they have no idea what they're talking about. You know what I mean? So that's what comedy is. You have to be able to speak on things. Nobody would even listen to a 17-year-old going heavy into politics. Like, shut up.
Well, that's not true at all. What about who's featured quite prominently in your new special? Greta Thunberg. Everybody listens to her. She was 16 at the time.
Well, that's the whole thing with Greta. I say in the special, I agree with her. I agree with climate change and that we have to fix the planet and all that type of stuff. And it's just that I don't want to hear it. And she seems to be this sort of untouchable character that you can't mention her. And if you do, and if you're a man my age and you mention her, you're the worst person in the world. But here's the thing, right? If there was a 16-year-old Swedish guy called Lars, right, and Lars came up with his fucking blonde coiffed hair and his lovely comfortable shoes and said, I'm worried about the planet and all, but go fuck off, Lars.
Yeah.
But, you know, like a girl with a twitchy eye, she had a bit of charm to her. She goes a bit further.
That's for sure. But
yeah, she was so hyper-dramatic.
Yeah, she really was. By the way, kudos on the special in that, which I hope more comedians take note on this, you just go right into the special. There's no silly intro. No backstage thing.
Can I tell you something? I'm going to tell you something about that, Ralph. Interesting enough, before Jim's special came out, I had watched a few recently of people's spec, you know, because I got my thing getting ready to come out soon. And in the editing, I did this, made the same choice.
Really?
Where it's like I'm already talking when it starts.
Yeah, I love
like,
it.
Like
I think that
the
I
fanfare,
that
I think, sometimes just it's a waste of time. It also, I think it also sets a weird tone for the thing. Like it feels like such like a rock show of everyone screaming, going nuts, and then like to just start talking is weird.
Yeah, I think as well it's like a lot of people just are we excited, it's all good to see you here, and that's fine in a live show, but at home they're not at the live show, they just want jokes straight away. I started one of my specials with the first two words were Bill Cosby. I didn't say hello or anything, I just said Bill Cosby, and then I was off to the races.
That's,
you know,
great.
And it was I have the same agent as Bill Cosby, and he reckons that when well, not anymore, you know, but they reckon that when Bill Cosby came out of prison, that the first thing he did was ring up his agents. He wants to get back up on stage.
Yeah,
that was his first call that he made. And like, I'm all for, you know, you shouldn't be a rapist and he's a really bad person, all that type of stuff, but don't you kind of want to see his prison material?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I mean, I would definitely, I never thought about going to see Bill Cosby. I would see Bill Cosby now.
That's a question. Sure. That's a question knocking around now a lot. Like, are you going to go if he comes near? Like, would you go see the show? And 100%.
Yeah. 100%.
Well, I'll go with a fake mustache and a fedora and a trench coat looking like I'm, you know, two kids on each other's shoulders.
By the way, there's one other thing that I like that you two have in common, sort of. Jay was at the beginning of the pandemic, was dragged off stage. And you were punched in the head repeatedly on stage. So you both have that in common.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I reached out to Jay right away after that because I feel like I'm the OG punched in the face, you know what I mean? And there's another guy, Alex Williamson in Australia, who's been punched twice in the last 3 years at the same venue. He went to the same venue.
Oh, really?
And so I'll tell you a story. So I've only met Dave Chappelle once, right? And that was that they had a Dave and Buster show with Buster Rhymes after he played the Hollywood Bowl.
Great.
And then someone said, oh, you know, Dave wants to meet you or whatever. So I go over and I've never met him. I said, hello, Mr. Chappelle. It's a pleasure. And he goes, I was just backstage tonight with Bill Burr. And Bill Burr pulled up a video of you getting punched in the head. That's some crazy shit. The next day, Dave Chappelle gets tackled on stage. The next day.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. At the Hollywood Bowl.
One of us has to start pressing charges. We're all such cool people, comedians. All of us.
Oh, hang on, Jim. Hang on, Jim. You're
Jim,
chopping
we're
up again.
You, Jim. We lost you.
Relax,
Jim, we lost
like,
you.
Ah, well, oh,
shit.
I was just saying that one of Jim, us has to press charges sooner or later. Sorry?
Oh, there you go.
You're not wrong about that, because I hear you. We hear you now. We whatchamacallit. The pressing charge is the thing. The guy that even like again, that guy got fucked up pretty good that night. You know what I mean?
Guy.
So yeah, with my situation. Yeah. And also it was just like, but we were going to. We were like, yeah, we should show up the court. I mean, that's fucking crazy. And then it's the time comes, and it's like with anything else with comedians during the day, you're just like, oh, was that yesterday? Shit. Oh, well. And you guys got to go, that guy's life probably sucks anyway.
Well, my guy, the cops had him, and they said, do you want to press charges? And I looked at the surveillance footage, and I thought, nah, I'll do all right out of this. Let him go. I said, let him sleep in the cell for a night in a drunk tank. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I never pressed charges or anything like that. But I'd like to meet him again and see how he's doing.
That would be fun. By the way, for both of you, that would be interesting if you could like meet your former attackers and see where their headspace was. You could have like a calm interview with them. That would be pretty wild.
Yeah, I'm going to try a different room in the house to see if I can get better.
While you're doing that, I will say this. So I would like you to retell the story. I don't know how many people have heard the story, but it's about DJ Qualls, right? I don't know if I'm saying his name right. But it made me look up a show of yours that I had never heard of, which is legit from about 10 years ago.
Oh, we're on FX, man. You didn't watch that? That was very, very funny.
I did not watch it. And I just got to tell you, Jim, I watched 5 episodes in a row today. It's a fucking great show. It is a great show.
Oh, thank you. It's probably my best reviewed thing I've ever done, like on Rotten Tomatoes or anything like that. But I'm super proud of that show. But it got moved to FXX and all this type of stuff, but it was this kind of a sweet show that involved disabled people. And it was all based on a true story that I took a friend with muscular dystrophy to a brothel. And so there's a little follow-up story for that. Right. So
funny when we first met Jim, that was, I think, I don't know if it was your closing bit, but you told that bit every night when we met in South Africa.
That it had just happened. Yeah. It just happened. So I had this friend who had muscular dystrophy. Me and his brother, I took him off to the brothel. And then years later, I'd made a sitcom out of it. I'd done a stand-up routine out of it, all this type of stuff. I go back and see him, and I hadn't seen him in years. And it was just before he passed away. And he said, you made a lot of money off me. And I said, I did. I did. He goes, you should take me to the brothel again. And I went, you know what? That's fair, right? And I took him again thinking this is the second time he'll ever get a blowjob, right? The prostitutes greeted him like he was Norm from Cheers. It turns out that he guilted several people to take him into a brothel.
Good for him. That fucking works. So that's story, brilliant. Though, that I loved is involving who plays Billy on the show, DJ Qualls, at an Elton John show.
Yeah, so me and DJ went to see Elton John, and we were there, and Elton gave his farewell tour. Elton gave like a 10-minute speech thanking his audience, saying goodbye, saying the most wonderful fans ever. And I turned to DJ, and I said, I should do that. Right. And he goes, what? I said, I only ever tell my jokes and I leave. I should thank the audience, all these people who come to see me. I should thank them. And he turns to me and he goes, yeah, but with your fan base, someone would just yell out fag. And as he said it, Elton John had stopped talking and the word fag just sang out across the room. Right. And Elton John looks up from his piano. And me and DJ sat there awkwardly. DJ wasn't out of the closet at that stage. Oh, it's important to say that DJ's gay and just doesn't throw the word fag out there. He's gay. That's vital to the story. Anyway, so I Netflix lawyers got into the material before I recorded it. And they said, oh, you'll need to DJ to sign a release, right? Mm-hmm. And DJ goes to me, he goes, I'm not going to sue you, man. I just told that story at Comic-Con. So he was fine with it.
That's awesome. Also, which seems like a big time for COVID, a big change in your life. You got married and you had a kid during COVID.
I had a COVID baby. I got married. Me and the wife, we got married a little bit quicker than we probably would have because she's British and I'm Australian. And we were worried that COVID would end. You know what I mean? And then I would have had to fly cunts in from all over the world for the wedding. It would have cost a lot of money. So I said, let's just go to Vegas, get it done. And then we, she got pregnant on the wedding night. You know, I'm pretty sure it's mine. There was a lot of men in the room. She's a heavy sleeper. yeah, we had a little baby, a COVID baby. Very stressful time to be pregnant, the COVID.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a quick little story. When I was during COVID, a comedian called Monty Franklin and Rob Schneider were writing a movie set in Australia. And so they rang me up to see if I could help put some Australian dialogue in there.
Mm-hmm.
And we went and lived with John Cleese. John Cleese was going to be in the movie. And John Cleese was going to write the movie with us, right? Wow. So each day we'd get up and we'd have breakfast and we'd write a bit of the script and we'd go for a swim, you know, me, Deuce Bigelow and Basil Fawlty. And then Rob Schneider's mother sadly passes away, so he leaves the group and he goes off to San Francisco for the funeral. Anyway, my wife's pregnant at home and she goes, oh, you have to come back. So I went off in the morning. This is like the beginning of COVID. I went and got a COVID test. I went and bought a bottle of wine to give to John. And I went back and gave the bottle of wine to John. I said, look, you're one of my heroes, mate. It's been so great writing jokes with you. I can't believe I've had this experience. And he said, I'm so happy I made a new friend. And I was like, oh. And he goes, we had a jigsaw puzzle we were doing. He says, do you want to finish that jigsaw puzzle? And I was like, sure. And I start putting the pieces in. And then I get a text on my phone. And it says, you have COVID. And I'm sitting across from my 82-year-old unvaccinated hero. So I just leave the house in a hurry and I ring my wife up and I go, I have COVID. And she goes, oh my God, the baby. And I said, fuck the baby. I've just killed John Cleese.
Yeah. You're a million miles away from the baby also.
Yeah.
The baby.
Let me ask you some stupid questions. Cause I say this all the time. So I apologize. I try to do a lot of research and find unique things about people and see if they're true or not.
I'll tell you a fun thing about, I think it's a fun fact about me. It makes me more interesting when I get to say, because of Dan Soder also, and Jim, I have two friends who were involved in a major in-home invasion, like tied up and hit like robbery. Yes, Soder also had that happen to him.
Well, me and a comedian called Steve Hughes, he's worked at Google, he's a very good comic.
Steve's great. Yeah,
we were living in a house in Manchester, and my girlfriend was asleep in the room next door. We were watching The Unforgiven, and we just—I'd had a couple of drinks or whatever—and then a machete just came to my neck.
Jesus Christ!
Yeah, it was the real deal. These two guys came in the house with a machete and a hammer. You know, England, no guns. So they came in. I had a cut on me and all that type of stuff, and they tied me up and they threatened to rape my girlfriend and they took all the stuff and put it in my car. And then they drove off. They were there for about 40 something minutes. They were in the house for a long time, but they got caught speeding 5 minutes away from my house before we even called 911. They got caught speeding and they had all the stuff in there and they went to court and they said they both ran from the vehicle. And they both said that they were innocent, even though they were wearing ski masks in June.
Jesus Christ.
You know, it's funny. I met Jim, was his girlfriend at the time, in South Africa for the first time. I got to meet her. And the next time I saw Jim, they weren't together. She was still in that period of time where you can't leave somebody after they've just been attacked with you in a house. You can't just go. Also, yeah, that machete showed up right when he was like, hey, you know, I've been thinking we should probably start seeing other machete. He goes, ah, fuck, you just bought her months.
Well, it's like I got a mate who his girlfriend broke up with him and he said, she broke up with me 1 month before my father died. And you're like, was he terminally ill? They go, yes. And I go, well, that's okay. Because she knew she couldn't leave him a month afterwards. That's a real bitch move, right? Like,
you just saved them both a couple months.
2 weeks before is too bad. A month before is right on the cusp. Otherwise, she's locked in for a year.
My friend Jennifer, she found out a guy she was going to break up with. She told me the day that she's going to break up with him, found the guy calls her to tell her that he has terminal cancer.
Oh, yeah.
And then she was stuck in for a while after that.
It was very slow terminal.
And, you know, pretty crazy. All right, before we go any further, if you are a responsible adult over the age of 21 and you're living in the states where Delta 8 is legal, and more importantly, if you want to get really fucking high, there's only one place to go, yoDelta.com, with high-quality, lab-tested Delta 8. If you're over the age of 21 and living in a majority of the states where this is legal, go to yoDelta.com and stock up on all your vapes and gummies of Delta 8 persuasion. What is Delta 8? It's found in hemp and, most importantly, can be legally shipped to a variety of states in this country, and it gets you fucking high. YoDelta.com, you find a mix of gummies and vapes for all your getting stoned needs. And I can tell you from everyone at Gas Digital, Delta 8 works. So once more, go to YoDelta.com, the official Delta 8 sponsor of the Gas Digital Network. And if you use the promo code GAS, that's G-A-S, you're going to get 25% off your entire order. Once again, the promo code is GAS, YoDelta.com, 25% off, YoDelta, get high. Let's get back into it. So then also, I've often thought I was cool because I knew the guy that toppled the Saddam Hussein statue during whatever that storm, desert storm, whatever the fuck it was, one of those missions. But you know the guy that killed bin Laden. That's way fucking cooler.
Yeah, Rob O'Neill, he's a good guy.
Rob O'Neill, yeah.
The first time I met Rob, he was coming, like a friend of mine knew him and he asked to meet me. And I was like, fucking yeah, I'd love to meet the guy who shot bin Laden, right? So I said, I'm having a barbecue on Sunday. I didn't have any fucking barbecue. So I just rang up a whole lot of friends. And Reece, I remember Reece Darby was there. You know Reece Darby,
yeah,
right?
I love him.
So,
yeah.
So Reece Darby was there. And I said, oh, here's the deal, right? Here's the deal. The guy who shot bin Laden is coming over. And he's coming over with some other Navy SEALs. And we're not to know that he shot bin Laden, but the guy who shot bin Laden's coming over, but we don't know. You know what I mean? And so these three soldiers came in, and one guy, a redheaded bloke, had a smoking hot girlfriend way out of his league. And I'm like, I think that might be the guy who shot bin Laden. I walked up to him and I said, hey, look, I know I'm not meant to know, but you know, thank you for what you did. Thank you for your service, right? Mm-hmm. He went, what? That I shot bin Laden? And then he didn't shut up about it for hours. He told the story with every person who came over, took photos with everyone. He's the least secretive bloke ever.
It's so funny you say that, because when you were saying that story and he was like, you were like, hey, we know. I'm like, this. He told it on Howard Stern, that story. Which is so much like, you can't get any more than that. I mean, in detail. He's like, and I looked in his eyes and we locked souls for a moment.
Oh, yeah, he does that. He goes, when he was telling the story, he goes, and then I saw the whites of his eyes. And then one of the girls went, did you say anything? He goes, oh, in the Navy SEALs, we always say Yahtzee, but I forgot to say it like that. And I was off barbecuing in a corner. I went, Yahtzee's stupid. And he goes, what would have you said? And I go, I would have said, where have you been, Laden? Like, that's the... Where have you been, Laden? That's an Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have to have the line.
You see that on Family Guy a lot, where they work out the line before they go into a room. And you hosted some weird podcast. I don't know the story, but it's called The Outrageous True Story of Milky Moore. What the fuck was that?
So what? Well, it's maybe an audio book or something. It's an interesting, it's like a Catch Me If You Can. It's a story of this sort of bogan Australian fella, which is like our term for white trash in Australia, right? And he went to his ATM and he withdrew some money and it didn't come out of his bank account. And so he kept on going and he took out millions and he spent it all on hookers and strippers and Aston Martin and all that type of stuff. And then he went to court and he proved that it was the bank's problem. They should have picked up on it. It's not up to him to tell them. Mm-hmm. You know, he kept on thinking he was a loan or some shit like that. He got away with it. Now he's become a lawyer, because he was in prison learning law to defend his own case.
Wait, so he didn't get away with it. I thought he said he got away with it.
He got away with it completely. He went to prison for a couple of years, but he got out and got acquitted.
Oh, so he didn't have to give the money back.
Nah.
Wow, that's pretty fucking great. That's
spent
awesome.
Spent it all on just rubbish stuff, like Brewster's Million, the whole lot. Like he bought like a signed Michael Jordan jersey, which he thought would go up in value and shit like that, you know.
Yeah, like the guy who found money in Philly is always the best like story. They made that movie with John Cusack about it, but it's just funny when people get money like that, you can't shut your mouth about it.
What was the John Cusack movie? I haven't heard about this story. What happened?
I think it might be called Take the Money and Run, I believe. But
no, that's
it was
a Woody Allen movie.
Okay, then I forget what it's called, but maybe just Take the Money. But it was a story that happened in Philadelphia. One of those Brinks trucks like fell open, and he found like millions of dollars in cash. And he took it home, and instead of, like, at first he started trying to figure out like how to like launder it, and then they cast it so great. Debbie Mazar, Money for Nothing, there it is. Debbie Mazar was like his girlfriend, and he just couldn't wait to like slap her with $1,000 cash and go to the bar, and everyone who calls him a loser be like, how about I fucking pay off your mortgage? And he just started being like and the cops caught him in, I think it was weeks.
are you doing any more acting, Jay?
I'll do it more like if I get like asked to do something or like offered if I read a thing that was really good, I'm going for
it. With the schedule of stand up though, isn't it?
It's not, because it's not my passion at all, but like, you know, it's fun. Like I said, I always say it's fun to be in something when it comes out, like going to see Hustlers with my daughter, even for the minute that I'm in it.
Yeah.
You know, elbowing her in the ribs when I was on screen, like, there's your old man on a movie screen. I couldn't believe it. That is cool. But even with the cool things that I got to see and do in those 3 days of filming that I was only there for, 3 days, it was just like, I remember those days more as like long waiting, hot, what are we doing? Why am I here only working 13 minutes in a 14-hour day? It seems weird.
The acting. I just got offered an acting part in a zombie movie, and nice. They go, "You'd play your." I'm not doing it. They go, "You'll play yourself," and it's you and Vanilla Ice hunting zombies. And I'm like, I don't know. You might get a good routine out of it. I'll tell you what. If you watch the second season of Legit, my dad is played by George Lazenby. Was James Bond for
James
one
Bond,
movie.
The first James Bond, right? Wasn't he the first James Bond?
He was the second one after Connery.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
He did one film. He's an interesting cat. He would have got Me Too'd in 5 seconds these days.
Okay, I'll tell you a funny anecdote with Jim, too. Jim was the first person to tell me. He's a huge Beatles fan. I think it's well known. And when we were in Africa talking about music at some point, and you were saying about loving the Beatles, and I was making jokes about Charles Manson with the Helter Skelter and everything. And Jim was the first person who told me, he was like, yeah, it's actually about a slide at an amusement park. It's not about it's not about a race war or mass murder. And I was like, really? And then I went and listened to it that night, and the opening lyrics are, I go to the top of the slide, then I go back again. It's clearly literally about a slide.
Yeah, it's just a slippery dip. Do you remember that South African tour when I upset the captain of the South African cricket team?
Oh, I really do. Twice. You got him twice. You got him twice in one night.
It
was funny. None of us, almost nobody on that festival understood, even though Americans are technically the worst at knowing this kind of stuff, understood the importance of this guy, I think, or who he was.
Yeah, I hadn't lived in Australia for a long time, but he was the cricket captain of Australia and the cricket captain of South Africa are the most important people in the country besides the Prime Minister.
Right.
They're the most revered thing. And I was talking to a girl who was doing press for our tour, a very pretty girl, and he came up and bumped in the middle of us. And I said, excuse me. And he goes, what are you talking to that fucking guy? Like that, right? I said, fuck you, you fucking. We almost went to blows and I got kicked out because he's the South African cricket captain. but then the cunt stupidly showed up at the show in the front row with his girlfriend the next day.
And Jim goes out, but Jim went at him hard and then offered him the handshake to make up for it. And then the guy wasn't going to do it. And then he did. And then Jim pulled it away and called him a cunt again. It never got better. It was hilarious.
That's fucking
and then
great.
At that point, they were just like, keep them away from each other. Like, it just doesn't need it. They don't have to make up. It's fine.
And
that was so funny. Yeah, the importance of that guy. They told me that. They were like, you want to take a picture with him?
Graham
Smith. I was like, they were like, you want to take a picture with him? I was like, I don't care. And they were like, it's like Barry Bonds of South Africa. I go, well, that's not true because you know who Barry Bonds is.
I was at my kid's little league game the other day. He just reminded me of this. And like the coach is like this, I want to see you having swings. Don't do walks. You know, don't do walks. He goes, no one remembers the person who walked the most. And I went, Barry Bonds.
That's hilarious. That that Africa trip also was one of the fun about a person putting their foot in their mouth. The late Todd Lynn, who was just always ready to make a problem or a bad attitude. In our first driving around with our transport driver, Ralph was a an African older man named George. He was a very, very sweet guy, but from South Africa. And when we were all in the transport introducing each other, Ben Norris was there.
Ben, I remember this, yeah.
And we're all, you know, saying hi to each other. And then Todd Lynn is just sitting in the back with like a furrowed brow, just like a frown on his face. And I think Jim was like, what's your problem, man? And
he was like, this is how I remember it. He goes, I'm never coming back to this motherfucking country ever fucking again. He goes, my foot swelled up like I was from the movie The Clump. He goes, this country's too fucking far, whatever. I'm like, all right, well, you're here now. And then Ben Norris goes, are you always like this? The English comic, are you always like this? He goes, fuck you. And he goes, I'm a black American. I've put up with hardship.
He says, like he just goes, that's what my, they go, why are you so angry? He goes, because I'm a black man living in America. That's why I'm so angry. And everyone got quiet and uncomfortable. And then George, our driver, went into like a gas station for a minute. And for some reason, Todd went to go to the bathroom or whatever it was. He got out of the thing too. And everyone started talking. He was like, I mean, slavery ended here like 12 years ago. No, maybe.
Yeah. George said, I've been free for 15 years.
And it just, everyone was like, Todd, what a dumb thing to say in Africa.
So stupid.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
By the way, Jay, when we were at AVNs, our podcast was nominated and lost for the AVN Podcast Award. We had an idea that it'd be funny if Jay was in a porn, but in a non-sexual way.
Yeah, I will be in anyone's non-sexual porn.
In a scene that had nothing to do with it. And Jim was in a porn as a game show host.
Nice.
Well, you've done some deep dive. Yeah, I was in a porno in 2004 for the porn network in Britain. This is before, you know, there was porn on the internet. You know, it was like for a TV channel. And there was a TV show called Stars in Their Eyes where people would come out and they'd go, today I'm going to be Paul McCartney. And they'd come out in a Beatles wig and they'd sing Yesterday or whatever. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then... So I was on a show called Come in Their Eyes. It was just a gig.
and it wasn't a passion project.
One girl came out and she dressed as Britney Spears in the Hit Me Baby One More Time outfit. And then another bloke came out as Eminem but with the Mike Myers hockey mask and the chainsaw. And then they just had sex. But I remember being on set. I just had like a suit on, and I remember I got an erection and people looking at me like, well, that's not appropriate. I'm like, what am I meant to do? At the end, he came on her, and then I just stood next to him and just waved goodbye like this, right? now here's the kicker, right?
Make sure you spay and neuter your pets, everybody.
Yeah, I was like, I never thought I'd do it. Look, I needed the money, like all porn stars. I was broke. They were paying me like $500 or something. I was like, all right, you know. And here's the kicker. Now in Australia, I'm an actual game show host. So that footage will probably come back up.
Well, what's the game show?
It's called the 1% Club, and there's a version of it coming to America soon. But they've got a British one and a German one, a French one, and all this type of stuff. And it's you start with 100 contestants. It's a proper like, it's not a comedy game show. It's a proper game show, with lights that go wrong. And it's like you start off with 100 contestants, and you get asked a question that 90% of the public can get. Then we lose 10 people, 80%, 70%. It's like 10 questions over an hour. And then we end with a 1% question, but all the questions are IQ based. So an 8-year-old has the same chance as an 80-year-old. You can't read up on it. Oh. You can't practice.
That's awesome.
And they're bringing an American version of it out now, but it's like a big sort of like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire style set with all the lights and everything. But I'm not very bright, me. I can hardly read the questions. I would have been good on a show, Is It Cake? That's what I should have. One question.
Is this cake?
Yeah, I'm trying to sell a show now called Fat or Pregnant. I reckon I can get it off the ground.
Also, why, I don't know, like, you know, again, obviously I am doing research. You were reported dead a few years back in Malta. Is that true?
Yeah, I've never been to Malta, but someone called Jim Jeffries, died in a car accident. But here's the thing. So they put up a picture of me, like TMZ took at the airport, where I'm hungover. They didn't even put up a nice headshot. And it got sent to me, and right away I posted it and said, hey, I'm not dead. If I had my time over, I would have given it a couple of hours.
just to see if people are nice about me
or something. When do you get that opportunity?
Yeah,
I was like, yeah, I bottled it too quickly. But yeah, he died in a Peugeot 605 or something, like a real shitty car. Like, it didn't look good. Yeah, like, I was in a secondhand Peugeot in Malta. That's how a holiday, I guess.
Trying to escape it all in Malta.
Some peace and quiet. Also, I didn't realize this until looking into you. You know, the Jim Jefferies show on Comedy Central was there for a few years. In 2019, they just fucking canceled everything. Is that what, right?
Well, they didn't cancel me. They canceled the network. All the executives changed, and all
500 employees in one day.
Yeah, they kept the Daily Show and South Park, and that's it. Right, they got rid of Tosh. They got rid of everything, and Tosh used to be a ratings bonanza for him.
Yeah,
I'll tell you how bad it got. That one of the executives that I had to answer to actually rang me up and said, "Hey, if you got any productions coming, I'd like to help out."
Wow, and I'm like, I didn't realize. So, Jay, was that around the time that you guys left Comedy Central Radio?
No. So we slid through the cracks that day because Comedy Central, I think, forgot they even have a radio station, and we were the only live show on it. So we slid through the cracks on that day. 500 people and all the shows except for Daily Show, like you said, in South Park, and then we slid through the cracks. And then 6 months later, they were like, "Oh, wait. What are they doing? Fire them too."
Well, I wonder, like, I hear they're starting up again because they had a model there for a while where they were just going to do shows for 25 grand, which is just means standing in front of a green screen watching clips, right?
Yeah, but they're going to, I don't know if they're coming back as a channel hard, but they're definitely, they're going to be like a production house. They're going to like make the things that go out.
So Corden's being replaced by At Midnight.
Really?
Yeah.
I know Corden's leaving. I knew he just announced he's leaving.
Midnight instead of James Corden. No more late night there.
Oh, Jesus.
That's wild.
I guess it's a Byron Allen project. This seems like a job for Byron Allen.
I know it's not the same showrunner. I don't know who's the showrunner now, but, you know, look, depending on what city it's in, at least it's going to give a lot more work to comics.
Sure.
I know, Jay, we have a hard out in a few minutes. We just have two quick questions, then we'll do the first, okay? One is, did you really, this could just be silly if it is true, did you put a jacket up on auction and then ended up bidding it back and winning it back yourself?
I bought my own jacket back from a celebrity auction because it was going for less than what I paid for it originally. And I really like that jacket. And so I still wear that jacket, and I've signed it inside. Yeah. It was going up at auction. I paid like $2,000 for the jacket, and it was one of the jackets I wore on a special, and I gave it with the DVD of the special and the jacket, and it was going for like $400, and I went, for $450 I'll buy it back. It's all for charity.
All right, fair enough.
So I got my own jacket back. Yeah, that's pretty sad, funny, really.
When someone notices the pocket inside and sees that you signed inside your own jacket, it's a...
What if I have an accident?
I'll tell you a funny story. So my old man, right? So Brad Pitt was my weatherman on my show, right? I don't think I've ever told this story out loud, but on podcast. But so Brad Pitt was my weatherman on the show. He was really nice and all that type of stuff. Anyway, he had a linen suit that was tailored to him that he had... in our wardrobe department, right? Our show gets canceled. I get a call. Do you want to take Brad Pitt back his suit? Right? I haven't spoken to the guy. So I text Brad. I'm like, hey, we got this suit. And then I go, do you want me to bring it back? And he said, I'll give it to Goodwill. And I was like, all right, I'll do that. So the first thing I did was try it on. Now, I'm a lot bigger than Brad Pitt, right? I'm like, this suit's not going to fit me. But I kept the suit. I didn't give it to Goodwill. It turns out it fits my dad perfectly, right? my dad's an 82-year-old widower, and he's got this linen Italian suit that fits him perfect, right? So I give it to my dad at Christmas, and I said, that's Brad Pitt's suit. My dad's so out of touch, he goes, Brad Pitt, who's he? And I said, he's a movie star. And he goes, is he? Would people know who he is? And I said, yeah, people will know who he is, right? And so I show the picture of Brad wearing the suit on my show, right? The next time my assistant comes out of the house, my dad gets him to laminate a picture, that picture. So my dad keeps the picture of Brad Pitt wearing the suit in his top pocket. And when he goes, that's his date outfit, when he meets women, and he brings it out, he shows it to him. He goes, I'll lead him on for a bit. And then boom, out with the photo.
That's the deal closer.
Yeah, that's the deal closer.
What I've learned from that story is that Brad Pitt is shaped like an 82-year-old man.
Well, it's the button across the stomach. My dad's shaped like E.T., but the button across the stomach is a bit tight. But my dad has the same leg and the same shoulders.
That's so hilarious. That's keep great. It in the pocket.
All right, Jay, I'm going to do the first so we can wrap up with Mike.
The first time ever I saw concert, did drugs, had sex.
So the name of the show is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. We've asked every guest this since the dawn of time. Their first experience with all three. We start with rock and roll, and we just mean the first concert you went to on your own volition that you wanted to go to. Doesn't have to be rock, just concert.
It was Billy Joel in about 1990.
Nice. Wow.
It was maybe the Stormfront tour, maybe 88, the Stormfront tour. So you're still doing We Didn't Start the Fire. Like it was that era of Billy Joel. I was very young.
Is it Billy Joel in Australia? You saw him in Australia?
Saw him in Australia. Billy Joel's massive in Australia. People love him. He just sold 100,000 seats at the cricket stadium the other day.
Wow.
Did you love the show? You were all about it?
Look, I still see Billy Joel every now and again. I've seen him about 6 or 7 times. He puts on a good show, man.
Yeah, he does that every month at the Garden. So I've gone to that maybe like 4 or 5 times now.
Yeah, it's a good show. Yeah. It's like clockwork. It finishes an exact time. He obviously has to get to bed, you know what I mean? But he's still good. He's still good.
It's one of those things, you know every song, you know all the words, and you can just dance around and be an old person.
I said to my wife, she's going, I'm going to the bathroom. And I said, don't go. He's about to do Uptown Girl.
All right, now, what about the first drug you ever did, but after weed, unless weed wasn't your first drug?
Weed wasn't my first. I only recently took up weed, but my first drug would be ecstasy, and that would have been 18 years old or something like that. And I really loved ecstasy back in the day, but in Australia, you know, drugs in Australia are very expensive. A gram of coke's like $350, right?
Jeez.
And an ecstasy tablet back then was $50. And now ecstasy is like $2 a tablet or something like that. Wow. It's no good. I wanted to see $50 worth of ingredients, you know. So I did ecstasy. And then the next one in Australia, cocaine's so expensive. The next one I did in Australia was speed, because speed's a lab drug. You know, it's getting the cocaine into Australia that's so hard, getting it into an island. But speed, there's loads of speed in Australia. Australia was very much into heroin when I was a kid. There was smack addicts everywhere.
And now according to your special, you're, I guess, what they call California sober. You don't drink, but you smoke a lot of weed.
I don't smoke. I take edibles. I have weed drinks and stuff like that, and I find it chills me out. It's made me a lot happier. I feel like I can parent on it where I can't parent on alcohol, and I don't forget anything. I used to black out. I got sloppy towards the end. I'm at 700 days without booze. But it's hell funny yeah. because people get very angry at me because I was drunk at so many of my specials and drunk in so many things that I did that people always, oh, he's better when he was drunk. Yeah, I liked him when he's drunk. People want you to die in this business.
Have you ever talked to, have you ever spoke to Dave Attell about that? Because he's got a very similar thing. It's like no one was happy for him quitting drinking.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, terrible.
Yeah, everyone's just kind of, and they would still send shots to the stage and everything. And he has to like tell them like not to do, you know, it's very weird.
Oh, I get people. I
mean, it's been long enough now that no one even like assume, you know, he's not even related, like synonymous with drinking anymore like he was.
I get people offering me coke all the time because I've done a few cocaine routines, you know what I mean? And I get offered it all the time. I'm like, nah, don't do it. And people think you're lying, you're holding out. And if I was to take it back up, I wouldn't do it with a fucking stranger.
yeah, really. Not now.
And what about the first time you had sex?
First time I had sex, I was 16. Oh, I was 15, about to turn 16. It was January of that year. I turned 16 in February. And it was with a girl. I went to a summer camp. You know what I mean? Like where you go do drama camp or whatever. And I met a girl there who was way, I'd still put her in my top 10 looking girls I've ever had sex with. She's still right up there.
That's
it was a
know.
Downhill slope from her, right? And her father lived above a chemist, a pharmacy. So I went downstairs and I got the condoms and I came back up and her dad was still in the house. And we did it very quietly on the floor and lasted a few seconds. But it's on a main road in Sydney that you have to drive past to get to my dad's house. And every time I drive past it, I always go, there it is, that room there, everyone. I can't believe there's not a plaque or a statue or something. I do the same joke every time, right? My sister-in-law rear-ended a car there because she looked up at the window.
I mean, by the way, here's me bragging about my research. Your birthday is on Valentine's Day. Did you get out of the escape room for your birthday?
How did you know I went to an escape room?
Don't worry about it. How about that?
I'll tell you a funny story. We're in Vegas, and my wife goes, oh, maybe we could get a prostitute for your birthday. She never had one. She goes, maybe we could get a prostitute. She was drunk, right? I was overeager. I went straight to the computer. I should have played it cool. I should have gone,
What else?
Whatever you want.
Let's put a pin in that. We'll see what else. What are our other options?
Yeah, maybe we'll see a Cirque du Soleil show. Who knows where the night starts going?
You started typing on the computer and it auto-filled because you've done this before?
Yeah. She literally said to me, she goes, how did you find that site so quickly? And I'm like, I just put in hooker. It just came up. And she goes, would we have to get condoms? And I said, no, they supply them. I'm like, just shut up, you idiot. And then my wife goes, is it legal? And I said, well, actually, it's not legal in Las Vegas. It's legal in Nevada because we did a field piece on the Jim Jefferies show about it. I go, it's legal in certain counties. And she goes, oh, I won't do it then. She goes, I go, why not? She goes, what would happen if we got caught? And I said, what would the headlines be? Jim Jefferies' wife is awesome? Like, it's not going to ruin my reputation. But it never happened, and I don't think it ever will. I had my moment.
It's like before she even finished the sentence, maybe we should get a prostate. All right, she's coming over. Like, we're ready to do this. All right, so the new comedy special is called High and Dry on Netflix, the Give Them What They Want tour, and the I Don't Know About That podcast, which you do weekly, I believe. And you can follow Jim at Jim Jefferies on Instagram. Anything else you want to plug before we go around the room and do plugs?
No, just the special. If you're listening, I'm going on a European tour this week. The UK's pretty much all sold out except for London and Manchester. There was an extra show. But then I'm the next month I'm going to be all over Europe. So if you're in any Scandinavian countries, you're in Italy, you're in Germany, I'll be there. So check out my webpage.
You should invite Greta Thunberg to come to the show. Jay, your plugs?
BigJComedy.com for all my dates. Listen to The Bonfire. Listen to Legion of Skanks. And that's all.
Shannon?
You can follow me on Instagram there's a lot happening in here, at ChannonLee6982, and then listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts, where guests come on and they tell their own personal stories about their worst date experience, a time they got into a street fight, and an experience with the paranormal.
All right, now, Jim, don't give
any
indication.
Look how hot Shannon is, and she doesn't fuck for years at a clip.
She's going on 5 years. 5 years of no insertion.
5 years?
Yes.
Yeah,
five years. No one.
Why not?
Because I keep saying no.
I just haven't met anyone I want to have sex with in a while.
I feel like she's closing up like any other wound. You know what I mean?
Maybe have your wife reach out and you could make that one happen. All right, so quick question. Ready, Jay? Jim, don't answer. Does Jim Jeffries believe in ghosts?
Yes.
I feel it's a hard no.
I would say yes. I'd say yes.
Yes.
Jim?
No.
Thank you so much.
I don't believe in God. I don't believe in any of that rubbish. I don't believe in any of it.
All right, so just follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton, my other podcast called The Good Sugar Podcast. We're opening our first location on 3rd Avenue, 69th Street. Food testing in 2 weeks. So come down and check us out once we start opening. Jim, an honor to have you on the show. And we end the song every week with a playlist addition. We got to add a Billy Joel song. So pick a Billy Joel song.
I'll go Matter of Trust off
right,
the
we'll do Matter of Trust.
That's one, two, three, four.
One.
I will see you next time on the SDR show.
See you, mate.
One, two, three, four.
You've been listening to the SDR Show.